It's time to pull up a chair and open your Bible for today's Bible study segment of Naomi's Table. Gather around and let's begin.
Well, today we're going to begin a new study in the book of Galatians. And so today we're going to do a little bit of an overview and then just jump into just the first few verses. Now, Galatians was written, as many of the New Testament books were, by Paul. Paul was converted roughly around the year 33 or 34 AD, and this letter to the churches was written somewhere between 48 and 51 AD. Paul was martyred somewhere around the year 64 to 67 AD. Galatia, the town that this is written to, was part of a Roman province in the southern portion of the empire. These churches were likely set up by Paul on his first missionary journey. Paul was writing at a time when many Jews were being converted to Christianity, and also many Gentiles were becoming believers. Now, this posed a problem because Jews and Gentiles did not typically get along. Thus, as this new body of believers is being formed, there were issues. The Jewish Christians in particular were struggling with the Old Testament requirements, with which ones were still in effect, and they were imposing those beliefs on the Gentiles. One of the biggest sources of controversy was circumcision. The Jewish Christians insisted that Gentile Christians were not truly saved unless they had been circumcised. Truly, the Church of Galatia and the Gospel of Grace is under attack from Jewish Christians who believe that God expected all believers to continue in obedience to the law, especially paying attention to the commandment for circumcision, in order to participate in the kingdom of God. Now, such confusion is leading the church to a works-based system that is based upon one's obedience to the law for salvation and not based upon grace by faith alone. Because Paul had always argued that circumcision was not the issue, that just like the Jewish Christians, the Gentile Christians were saved by grace through faith alone, the Jewish Christians arguing for circumcision decided that Paul was not an authentic apostle, and thus what he said didn't really matter. Thus, the book of Galatians deals largely with this issue, pointing to the Jewish Christians that they were actually adding things to the law, adding requirements that Christ himself did not place. In essence, they're promoting legalism and are contradicting the gospel of grace that Christ gave. So in Galatians, we should expect to see a lot about grace, a lot about removing our own requirements from salvation, and a focus on refocusing our hearts to him, for our justification is not from our own ability to save ourselves. Christ's death has brought in the age of a new covenant. People do not have to become Jews or follow the outward ceremonies of the Mosaic Law to be Christians. This thought is also reflected in Paul's letter to the church in Rome in Romans chapter 2, verses 25 through 29, and Romans 4, verses 1 through 15. Requiring these things denies the heart of the gospel, faith alone by the grace of God alone. Throughout Galatians, we also learn clearly that Christ is a substitute for all Christians, bringing them into a new realm of freedom and life. The gospel is from God alone, not any human source. Paul is an example of this. His conversion and his apostleship were not through human means. Salvation comes by faith, which leads to justification. Requiring more is to fall back from grace and freedom to come under the law and its curse, since perfect observance of the law is impossible. And the Old Testament testifies to the truth of justification through faith as well. In Galatians, we also see how believers have died to sin with Christ and renounced the flesh. We see very clearly in one of the best-known passages in Scripture how the Holy Spirit is the source of power and guidance in the Christian life. The Christian life is one of pleasing Christ, which requires willingness to suffer persecution for the sake of his cross. This letter to the churches in Galatia is one in which Paul is also more critical of his audience than in just about any of his other letters, directly critical too. This book is only 6 chapters long, yet in those 6 chapters, Paul rebukes these churches with strong words, calling them out 7 times on their legalism and their lack of grace and lack of understanding of what Christ's atoning death actually did for us. This book is sometimes called Martin Luther's book because of how heavily he relied on this book to clearly explain what the Bible really taught about sin, faith, justification, and grace, and to refute the erroneous theology of his day. Martin Luther also relied heavily on Romans, but this book was special to Luther. Now, Luther wasn't perfect, but still it is largely because of his willingness to stand up to the Roman Catholic Church that we have the Bible in our hands and on our tablets and phones and Kindles and on the internet and everywhere else. So the fact that this book of the Bible was one that impacted Luther and his writings so much is something to keep in mind as we see what this book has to say about justification by faith, sin, the sinful nature of men, and redemption. Now today we're going to go ahead and open Galatians chapter 1 and read the first 10 verses. So if you have your Bibles, please go ahead and open to Galatians chapter 1. We'll be in verses 1 through 10. Paul, an apostle, not from men nor through man, but through Jesus Christ and God the Father who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers who are with me, to the churches in Galatia. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to deliver us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be the glory forever and ever. Amen. I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting him who called you in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel. Not that there is another one, but there are some who trouble you and want to distort the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach to you a gospel contrary to the one we have preached to you, let him be accursed. As we have said before, so now I say again, if anyone is preaching to you a gospel contrary to the one you received, let him be accursed. For am I now seeking the approval of men or of God? Or am I trying to please man? If I were still trying to please man, I would not be a servant of Christ. Okay, now remember why Paul was writing? He was writing to refute the requirements that were being added by the Jewish Christians and to assure the Galatians that Paul was indeed an apostle of Christ. Paul starts off with greetings that are a little different than in other letters. In other letters, you'll just see his name, Paul, or even Paul, an apostle of Christ. But here, this letter already starts off on a different tone. There were only 12 apostles, right? But Judas died at his own hand, so how could Paul be an apostle? Immediately, Paul makes it clear that he was not sent from men or by a man. He was sent by Jesus Christ and by God the Father. Also, in stating it this way, Paul reminds them immediately who Christ was and who raised him from the dead. In other letters, the standard grace and peace to you ends there. But again, here, Paul sends grace with a reminder of what Jesus did and under whose authority he did it. Paul also includes a description of the current state of things here, the reality that we were and we are living in an age of evil that we need to be rescued from. Remember that thought because we're going to come back to it. Paul wastes no time here. He jumps right in with the heart of the matter. I love how he minces no words. He's absolutely astonished at how quickly the churches in Galatia are abandoning the truth of grace and Christ for a different gospel. Now, before I go on, the word gospel does not necessarily mean the Bible, although we often use it that way. Gospel, according to Merriam-Webster, is the message or teachings of a religious teacher, or better yet, something accepted or promoted as infallible truth or as a guiding principle or doctrine. So the people aren't abandoning Paul, they're abandoning Christ and his message. Paul hits the matter head on, pointing out that they are believing the principles of works over the true doctrine of Jesus Christ, and that we are saved by God's grace, not our own merit, through our faith in Jesus, our Savior, our Mediator. Paul is rightfully upset that the Galatians are being confused in their understanding of Christ, and that the gospel of Christ is being twisted. The joyful, freeing gospel that they were given by Christ is being replaced by the doctrine which attributes salvation through works, and those works to be prescribed by the law, thus placing the people in bondage with an impossible task. Do you see how strongly he feels about this? Even if Paul himself or an angel from heaven should preach a different gospel than the gospel of Christ, they will be under God's curse. Different means different, not just a gospel that would be contrary to the gospel of Christ, but any gospel that does not have Christ as the focus or that removes parts of Christ's sacrifices or adds to it is false. Paul repeats that immediately. It is so important that they understand that concept. Before anyone can jump to the conclusion that Paul's only saying this because he wants to be the big cheese and wants everyone to listen to him, he nips that thought in the bud by asserting that he is not trying to gain their approval. He is quite literally on a mission from God. Paul knows he cannot teach God anything, but he is trying desperately to teach these churches in Galatia where to place their trust and faith and how to cling to that faith in Christ. Christ called Paul in a dramatic way and opened Paul's eyes to how to truly serve God, and Paul followed directions well. When Paul did try to please men, he stoned men of God, persecuted and hunted down other Christians, and killed them or arrested them. He knows what it is to please men, and he knows what it is to have your eyes literally opened to God and to strive to please God instead of men. Now, we're going to stop here for today, and I have a thought that I think we all need to think about. What gospel besides Christ in salvation by grace through faith do you believe? Do you believe all paths lead to God? Paul here lets you know that is not possible. Do you subscribe to the feel-good gospel that says that if you do good, God will bless you because somehow if you do good, he owes you something? Do you believe that what is right for you isn't or might not be right for everyone? Ladies, these are all lies our culture has believed, and they are pervasive. There is absolute truth. There is absolute right and wrong. There is only one true gospel, only one true way to heaven. Without Christ, you can be as good as you can manage, and you're relying on the gospel of you, not him. Whenever we replace him with self, we are not lining up with the gospel. It is only when we realize that we are sinners, that we cannot do it alone, that we need a Savior, that we can accept the grace that is given. All the good deeds in the world won't get you into heaven. Only Christ's blood can cover you because of the grace God has given you. Not because you deserve it, but because he is gracious to you. Be thankful for that grace shown to you and ask him to help you to see what gospel you might be clinging to that isn't actually gospel. Ladies, you can find the notes for this study under the Bible Studies tab under Lesson 1, Overview.